Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. As you take your seats, let's put our hands together for the team. Awesome worship today. I did have a tear or two, got to be honest, and I'm sure John did right next to me. We're all sooks on the front row. Hey, we're going to talk about winning at life today. And because the truth is scripture is countercultural. And it's actually extremely countercultural. The more I read it and get revelation, I'm like, man, no one in this. This is like the opposite to everything I know. These guys are part of the message today. And all good. Thanks, team. Great, great. Thank our host, everyone. Amazing. Scripture is extremely countercultural. And so it's important that we know how to win at life, because God has us to rule and reign. And often when I think of ruling and reigning, I think of things like power. I think of a man standing at his dinner table telling his family what they're going to do. I start thinking along that sort of way. Dictatorship. You know, Adolf Hitler came to my mind when I first read what our theme was for the month. And so ruling and reigning, sometimes I kind of think it's about our power and our authority, what I can do for myself in life. And but scripture's countercultural to that. And to rule and reign in life, this is what I've noticed. People that live by their own power, they get to the end of themselves and they realize that life wasn't fun, or they had everything in life that they wanted to have, but they still didn't have happiness or a depth of joy, you know, like a real joy where you wake up in the morning and things around you might have screaming babies like we seem to have every hour and a half at the moment. And you might wake up super tired, screaming babies, the house is a mess, it looks like we don't care about anything in life when you come over our place at the moment. And you wake up like that, but you still got a depth of joy. And so that doesn't happen by obtaining things. It doesn't happen by your job or your business being super successful, or it doesn't happen when you finally get to have a child that you've been hoping for so long. It doesn't happen when you get cars. It doesn't happen when you go away on the best holiday. That's not where true depth of joy comes from. So to get this, to obtain happiness and joy and the love of God, I might need some water if that's okay. To truly obtain these things, it comes through Jesus Christ. And so it's countercultural. It's nothing to do with us at all, actually. It's everything to do with Jesus and what he has done already for us. So we're going to look at winning at life today. And, it always has been and will be, till Jesus comes back, a countercultural concept. And we need to remember something today. Jesus definitely will come back. Our Savior is going to come back. We've been waiting a really, really long time. But we can never diminish the fact or allow it to be diminished in our lives. Jesus will come back. And my hope is that we will be winning at life. My hope is that when he comes back, we go, yep, we're ready. We're ready for this. I've been living in a state of readiness, Jesus. I am ready for you now to come back. I hope we aren't the people that lay our heads on the pillow at night wondering if God came back or Jesus came back tonight, would I actually go to heaven? But we are winners at life. And so we do this through Jesus. So he will be coming back. Genesis 1:26 says this. It says, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth." Dominion over all of the earth. See, we all want to rule our own lives, don't we? This is the truth. Is there any truthful people here today? Because I'll say that this is even me. Many times in my day, I want to rule my day. I want to dictate to my, I want to make my own decisions. Anyone else? You know, we want to do things our way and we want life to happen our way. However, where this is countercultural is having dominion isn't something that we do, but it's what Jesus has done. And I'm going to break, you need to stick with me today because I'm about to go through a lot of scripture and we'll get there in the end. But it's nothing that we can do to make us have dominion at life, in life. It's what Jesus has already done. See, we walk in it through Jesus, and we'll discover this in a moment. But this is the good news, because it has nothing to do with you. Having a great life has nothing to do with you. Thank goodness for that. You know, having a great life and ruling and reigning and winning in our world has everything to do with what Jesus has done. So we need to learn how to lean into that and what that actually means for us. So today we're going to look at how this is possible and how we're designed to rule and reign and to win at life. So for the first scripture, I'm going to look at John 14. Now, we're at the Last Supper when Jesus said these words, John 14, 30. He said, "I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. The ruler of this world approaches, and he has no power over me." Now, the ruler is the devil, okay, in scripture. The ruler of this world is the devil. And he has no power over Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to ask for a show of hands, which I'm not, okay, because it's on camera, but it's not. We're just preparing. But if I was to ask for a show of hands, I think most of us during our day feel like the devil's got power over our world. Yet we're sons and daughters of Christ. That's weird, isn't it? That's a weird concept when he has absolutely no power over Jesus. This is because Jesus had no sin or had no sin to his name. Jesus is completely spotless of sin, but we aren't. And so we are only ever righteous or covered through Jesus, the forgiver of our sin. 2 Corinthians 4:3 to 4 says in the New Living Translation, "If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing." It's not hidden from the church. When we don't preach the good news, we don't hide it from ourselves. We hide it from the people that need the good news. In verse 4, "Satan, who is the god of this world," little g, "god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news." So Satan is little g god and ruler of this world as a result of sin. Thank you, Adam and Eve. He has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. Have you ever wondered why when you tell people about Jesus, it's kind of like they've got no idea what you're talking about? They're blinded. And the enemy does that. This is why I love a prayer that I got taught a few years ago. And it was to always pray that God will give you the key to unlock the door to that person's soul. And so I used to just pray for the person, but the devil's there going, "I've got this," and he's blinding them. And I'm like, "You know, you need to know Jesus is the answer, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, oh, just hitting a brick wall. But now my prayer is, God, when I speak to that person, give me the key to unlock them and to take that blindfold of the enemy away from them so that they hear the good news of the gospel. So what this verse is saying, I'm going to read to you another verse in Romans 5:17. It says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So one man, Adam, you've probably studied the Bible a bit and heard, you know, of the second Adam. They're actually talking about Jesus, okay? So you've got this one man, Adam, that allowed sin into this world, but you've got this one man, Jesus Christ, who will destroy the power of sin and its bind over our lives. So one man releases it, one man will bind it and give you an everlasting life. So what this verse is really means to us is through Jesus, by giving our heart to Jesus, we receive the gift of righteousness, in which we get to reign in life through Jesus. So nothing to do with us. When we come under the banner or the umbrella of righteousness, the enemy then has no power over your life because you're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He has no power over Jesus, so now has no power over you. But there are areas in our world. Now, what I'm preaching here today isn't so much a salvation message as much as it is. This is also for people that have given their hearts to God, because I've learned this, that there are moments or parts or sections of my world that aren't under the righteousness of Jesus. Does that mean I'm going to hell? No, because Jesus has saved my soul once and for all, the word says. Once and for all, okay? So when we gave our heart to Jesus, he said, I cover you in righteousness. And what that means is when Father God looks at us and comes to that judgment day, he doesn't see the sin, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And that's how he's going to judge us. And he'll go, there's your way over there. And we'll go, thank goodness for that, right? So we go to heaven. But there's areas in our life right here on earth right now that we come under or out of the covering of righteousness. Okay, so we might be looking at wrong things. We might be saying gossip and gossiping to people about others, or we might treat finance like you don't care about. And what happens is you take them from under the righteousness of Jesus, and then we wonder why your life is going to the poo in this area of your life. And the reason why is you're out of righteousness and the enemy's going, thank goodness, because I've got power over you in that area, right? He might not have power over your soul, but he's got power over your finances. He's got power over your relationships. He's got power over your mind because you're watching horror movies instead of things that will build you up. And then we ask the question, why is it that I'm so tormented? You know, maybe I'm not a Christian. No, you are, but you've given him the power back in this area of your life. And so Jesus wants to rule your life. And when he rules your life through righteousness, you rule and reign in life because the enemy has no power over you. That's good news, isn't it? Pretty amazing. And so what I'm teaching you today is how to unlock this in your world so that you aren't feeling weak in areas of your life, like the enemy is playing games in area of your life. It's time for us to bring that up back under the righteousness of Jesus. And I'll continue to unpack this as I go. So this is why while Satan rules on the earth, he has power over people. He has no power over Jesus because of his righteousness. Now, Satan has no power over us because of the righteousness of Jesus. This is called the great exchange. Have you ever heard that said before in church? The great exchange. But we will still struggle with sin. True. But with the great exchange of righteousness for our surrender. So when we surrender that area and he covers us, exchanges it with the righteousness of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this in the NIV. God made him who had no sin, oh, this is so good, listen to this, had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So him who had no sin, Jesus Christ, went on the cross and carried our sin for us. Why? So that we can become the righteousness of God. Jesus takes our sin. This is the great exchange. Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Let me say that again, because we got to get this. This righteousness, it's given to you. How is it given to you? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. We just had a fantastic message about generosity. You know, praise reports coming through. Faith in Jesus Christ. We trust Jesus with our soul because there must be something at the end, and, well, we've got no idea, so I might as well believe in Jesus and he'll look after our soul. But is our faith in Jesus with our finance? Here's a weird one. Is our faith in Jesus? Is our faith in Jesus? You want me to unpack that little cracker? Because you can have faith that you're never going to get on top in your finances. And this is what that faith sounds like. It sounds like when your kid comes and they go, oh, Dad, you know, I really want to buy this lolly. You know, if I buy the lolly in the little slot machine, a ring will come out with it. And did you remember those ones? Anyone remember them? Yep. And I reply to him, oh, buddy, we can't really afford that. That's my faith right there. We can't afford. You getting it? My faith is we find it, we can't afford that. So Mel and I, many, many years ago, we just, God gave us a revelation on this. We changed our language. We never say in our family at all that we can't afford anything. Sometimes we'll say to our kids, I don't have the finances on me right now. So they know it's a no, and they know it's because mum and dad don't have the finances. But it isn't because mum and dad don't have finances. It's just not on them. Where is it? Kingdom of heaven. It's in a vault. How do I know it's there? Because we tithe. So we sow into the things of heaven so we can reap from the things of heaven. You see this? So it's up in the vault. Well, why can't we just get it now? Isn't it like a bank account and the savings? Oh, it's there for the right time. And because I'm pretty foolish with money and I'm just a normal human being and I would buy a Mustang, you know, before I buy a house or put clothes on my kids, you know, because I would do these sort of things, Jesus keeps it in a vault. And he said he'll give you the desires of your heart when your desires of your heart line up with the things of heaven. So why are some people more financially blessed than others? Because the desires of their heart are just lined up purely with the desires of heaven. And so with that comes an overflow. And so when Jesus releases the vault in heaven and allows that finance that you've been tithing and that faith that you've been tithing for years, when he releases that so that you can fulfill the desires of your heart, which are the purposes of heaven, there is an overflow and you start to get things like clothing and you start to have food on your table when you can't understand why. You can go to Bible college and somehow you're just provided for because the purposes of your heart he sees. And he goes, I can trust that person. And then when we buy a Mustang, he just relocks that for a little season, teaches us a lesson. I didn't buy a Mustang, it's just a dream. But I will. But this is the truth. So is our faith in Jesus? Is our faith in Jesus? Because when we read the Bible, okay, this is a good example right here. Oh man, I've got heaps of time. I'm going to enjoy this today. Here's a good one right here, right? By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Is your faith in Jesus? Let me say it again. By the stripes of Jesus on the cross, our word of God says, you are healed. Do you believe that? Yeah. Is your faith in Jesus? Or do you look at your body, or do you look at your mind, do you look at the condition of your heart and go, where is God? Or do we place our faith in Jesus? Because when we say, where is God in our world, in our situation, we are activating faith. Did you know faith is amoral? So faith isn't just a Christian concept, okay? Faith is amoral. The devil tries to exercise faith. He just doesn't realize he's a loser, okay? He has no power over Jesus. He will go nowhere. But he speaks out all the time into our worlds, into our minds, and into our hearts until we believe. So that's him activating faith. He will keep tormenting until we believe or we come under the umbrella of righteousness and we say, I can't deal with this, but Jesus has already. So, enemy, you have no power over my mind in this area anymore. So we have this power, this victory. We are winners at life. We rule and reign when we say, Jesus, I can't do this, but I know you already have. So I let go. I stopped trying. I stopped speaking against it. I stopped, you know, telling everyone the problems I'm going through, because all you're doing is putting out seeds of negative faith. And I stop all this, and I will just go in my bedroom. I will spend an hour today, and I'm going to pray until I feel like the power of this is broken over my life. That's coming under righteousness. That's pretty good stuff, hey? It's pretty easy too, to be honest. We can do this. You know, the thing that we have in life is the tension. I love talking about tensions when I look at the Word of God. It's the tension between our sin nature and our redeemed nature. Okay, if you're not a believer yet in Jesus Christ, or if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you deal with the one nature. And you know that there's more. But when you give your heart to Jesus, you then end up with this massive tension in every area of your life. It's your spirit man, okay, your inner man. The Bible calls that our heart, okay, in the Greek, that's our inner man. So you have your inner man and you have your sin nature. And this is why we aren't Jesus, okay, is Jesus was spotless without sin. We aren't, okay, so we have this tension continually. So while our spirit man, our inner man, our spirit nature is saved and Jesus, we will go to heaven. It's all good. You've got the stamp right. You're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, we still struggle with sin nature. And this is the human side of us. Any humans in the house this morning? There's a few of us, right? So this is human nature. This is why you and I struggle with sin all the time. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're a human being. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. It just means you're a human being. And here's the beauty of it. That's how we're meant to be. God made us like that. Sin came into the world, and there's no other way for you to be. In fact, it's called predestination, okay? Because if God didn't give you and I choice or free will, we would be robots. We wouldn't be humans. The only thing that makes us a human is that we have free will, okay? This is why, you know, why can't God just come and just finish everything right now and just make it all good? Well, he handed over free will to you and I. And that's what makes us human. Why did he hand over free will? Because that's how we love. You know, God is love. He actually is love. It's not an additive to his world. But for you and I, the only way we can love is if we choose to. It's the only way a person, I've seen many eyes just looking at me like, what the heck? Like, the only way we can ever truly love Jesus, the only way we can love God and have this pure communion is if we choose to. And that's the beauty of free will. So why doesn't God just come and wipe it all away and just fix it for your world? Because he wants to do it with you and through you. Jesus wants to do righteousness in and through you. And so that's why what it's all about with the choice. Now, I've got an amazing umbrella here. And this is a really good one. And it's going to pop it out. And I was going to give you a little example today. When we are out of the umbrella, we're no longer covered by the righteousness of Jesus. Okay? So this is the example. When we're under the umbrella of Jesus, we're covered by righteousness. Now, your soul is a different matter here, okay, if you have given your heart to Jesus. But that area, you know, you just think about that area in your life right now that you struggle in, okay? That mindset, the addiction, whatever it is, the anger, the frustration, you know, whatever it is in your world, you hate people, you hate humanity, you hate the government, you know, all this sort of stuff. Whatever that thing is in your life right now, what we need to do is bring it from here and we need to bring it under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we do that through a submissive heart, a heart of surrender. That's why this posture is so important for you and I, is because when we are on our knees, what we do is we say, God, I can't do this without you. We say, Jesus, my human strength, my, you know, little pea brain mind, like there's not much in there and I don't know much. You know, God, I haven't experienced what you've experienced. I don't look at the world like you look at the world. I don't get it. And so I surrender today in prayer and I come back under the umbrella of righteousness. Would your righteousness, Jesus, wash over me in this area of my life? And so that's why that posture of our heart is so, so important. When we are out, we give the power back to the devil over the areas in our lives. It doesn't mean that we're going to hell, but this living is drawing us permanently out from cover. Now, here's the danger of this, okay? Christians in the house, this is the danger of this living. Oh, my soul's all good, so I'm all okay. So you allow yourself to live like this, okay? You give yourself over to the addiction. You give yourself over to the abusive behavior. You give yourself over to anger. You allow yourself to be frustrated all the time. You continue to act in negative faith. And when you accept these things, here's the danger. You start to like it because why? You've given the devil power back in that area of your life. And trust me, he's not going to stop there. It's not just that one area. Because when you're like this, he's going to work on the other areas until you go, oh, I'll give you that area as well. I'll give you that area as well. Now, you remember that verse in the Bible, don't be lukewarm. No sitting on the fence. You're either hot or cold. That's what lukewarm looks like. The end of that verse says he'll spit you out of his mouth. That's Jesus. Because we can't live like that because our flesh nature will start to overcome our spirit man with desires and passions for sin. And what happens is soon enough, we turn our back. And this is now rejecting the love, the righteousness, and the salvation power of Jesus Christ on the cross. And before we know it, he's spitting you out. And here's the worst thing. You don't even know it. You're still holding the umbrella. And you don't even know it. And so we don't want to live like that, do we? So we need to get these areas in our life and bring them back under the umbrella. And one area at a time, let's bring it back under. As you're living, let's just surrender one area. Surrender your business, surrender your marriage, surrender your kids, surrender your relationship, surrender your schooling, surrender your university. Let's bring them all back under the umbrella and allow Jesus to rule and reign in our lives. You receive that this morning? When we are out, the devil looks to devour us. The Bible says that he roams around the earth looking for those out of the umbrella, out of the covering of Jesus, so that he can devour us. But when we are under, we are covered, and the devil has no power over you and I. So what is it to win at life? Well, I have another little demonstration here this morning. And are you receiving anything today? Is this helping? It's important that we get this perspective. This is so simple, but it's actually changed my life. So that we get this, the devil is really, really tiny, okay? He's actually little eeny-weeny, okay? The devil has actually no real power. He's a counterfeit, okay? He's lost the battle, right? Jesus won the battle when he rose from the dead, okay? The battle, at that point right there, the enemy knows he's a loser, but he seems to have power over our lives. But the truth is, he's this eeny weeny little insy peeny, like he's really, really small. And when you get this perspective, you will realize how insane it is that we think he has power over our life. And in areas of our life, we will start to see how easy it actually is to come back under the umbrella. In areas in our life. It's not hard, but we need to have a true understanding of the perspective. The devil is tiny. Jesus rules over all. Okay, let me say this again. Jesus rules over everything. Now, I'm not just talking about everything in my life. He rules over everything. And we just read the scripture, the devil's got minimal power on this incy-wincy world. And God rules everything. In fact, he can step back like this, can't he, John, and lift up the corner of his robe and go, ooh, there's a universe down there. That's how the Hebrews look at it. He rules over everything. When we come over under, When we come under the righteousness of Jesus in partnership with Jesus, we don't just rule that, our little lives. We rule and reign, not of our own strength, but through Jesus, our Savior. Because He rules and reigns. Pretty good, isn't it? He rules and reigns over everything. Jesus rules. We rule and reign through Jesus Christ. We don't rule and reign through our own accomplishments. A Mustang does nothing for nobody. Okay, some people think I'm cool. It lasts about 10 minutes when I drive away or someone hits the car. It's all over. Accomplishments, your business, and getting to that $1 million mark, it's nothing. That's not what ruling and reigning is. It will give you satisfaction, but it will last for a moment. And when you're on your deathbed, I promise you, you won't care about it, okay? So accomplishments in life don't do anything. Control is not ruling and reigning in life. Dictatorship is not ruling and reigning in life. Being abusive is false ruling and reigning. If you struggle with abuse today, you need to know a couple of things. One is you're not a loser, but that behavior is. The other thing is God loves you no matter how you have been acting. He loves you, He sees you, and His heart aches for you. But you need to know that behavior does not give you any power. It does not give you any authority. You do not rule that situation or reign in that situation. Jesus reigns over all things. And if we are seeking power and rulership and ownership in life, we need to give our hearts to Jesus in the most pure way we possibly can. Winning arguments is not ruling and reigning. Always having the last word is not ruling and reigning. I thought it was once. When I first got married, I always had to have the last word in that argument, but it didn't give me any power. It's false. Being the strongest or the toughest, this is why I don't go to the gym and I'm proud of it, okay? Because that does not make me rule or reign just because I feel like I'm the strongest or the most together person in the room. And being the loudest does not make you rule and reign or a winner at life. These are not the things Jesus through you, covering you with His righteousness. That's what makes us a winner at life. We rule and we reign through Jesus. Luke 10, 17 to 19 says this. This is just so beautiful. Jesus' words. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." In other words, I was there and I saw the one that roams the earth trying to get power wherever he can. And Jesus is here going, "Yep, I remember when I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority." He's talking to me now. He's talking to you. "Behold," put your name there, Graham. "I give you the authority because I saw Satan like lightning, incy wincy, incy peeny, fall from heaven onto earth. And so, Graham, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You receive that today? That's what Jesus is saying to you and I, church, is that He gives us the all authority and power, and we activate that when we surrender those parts of our life to Him and come under the umbrella of righteousness. And just finally, so how do we win? How do we rule and reign? We do like what Saul did in the Bible. Saul, his name changed to Paul. We humble ourselves daily. This is what Acts 9, 4 to 6 says. "Then Saul fell to the ground when he encountered Jesus and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you were persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" And then listen, he said, "So he trembled and was astonished and said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do. He said, God, what do you want me to do? God, how do I move forward from here? God, my faith is that you will move mountains for me. God, you see me as beautiful, and that's what I believe. God, what would you have me do? God, what would you how would you have me think? God, what would you have me say? God, before I get up on platform today, what in this atmosphere would you have me shift? God, today as I wake and I lead my family and I get the kids out of bed, what would you have me to say to them to set them up for success today? God, as my employees come to work today, what would you like me to say around the table so I can lead them to be productive, but to have a great attitude and to know that you love them unconditionally? God, what would you have me, how would you want me to respond to this accusation that was just given towards me? God, how do you want me to talk in this relationship right now with my spouse? How do you want me to respond? God, what would you have me do? And then we learn through scripture that Paul lived a life like this. And church today, how do we win at life? It's simple. We surrender every area of our life and we say, God, what would you have me do? And I just want to encourage you today, it's just one area at a time. He's not asking for perfection. In fact, he says when you're weak, he is strong. And that's because he comes over and overshadows the enemy and breaks the power. So when we are weak, he is strong. So just one thing at a time. And just in ending, when we dream bad things, prayer is how we surrender. I'm going to give you a couple of little keys. When we struggle with our thoughts, reading scripture is our surrender. The word of God will renew your mind. When we want control in situations over people in areas of our life, obedience is our surrender. Call a friend, what would you have me do? Call your pastor, what would you and obey? And that's how we surrender. When we feel weak, waiting on God is our surrender. Jump in the bedroom, sit on your bed for 10 minutes. God, I just wait. I feel like I can't do this. Would you strengthen me, Holy Spirit? And when we know we aren't our own answer of life, we give our lives to Jesus ultimately. Amen. Peace, love, joy comes from more than just salvation. It comes through living under the Jesus umbrella. Did I just hit anyone's doctrines right there? Peace, love, joy comes from more than salvation. I know many Christians that are going to go to heaven, but they're sucking lemons, okay? It comes from living under the umbrella of righteousness, seeing God moving powerfully in every area of your life every day. And just finishing, 1 John 3:7 says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous himself. Amen. You receive that? Let's give God a shout of praise this morning. So good. You know, the first step here is obviously acknowledging that you can't do this life on your own and that you need to be able to give your heart to somebody who can overpower the enemy in your life. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. And the reason why that's so true is because he was spotless of sin. He is the Son of God. He did come and he will come again and he is going to come and he's coming for you. He wants to bring you with him into glory. And, you know, and in order for that to happen, we've got to give our souls and we've got to place it under the righteousness, under that umbrella of righteousness where Jesus can just flood in your world, come into your sphere of life like a flood and wash you clean of your sin. Believe it or not, he wants to do that for you and for all of us. He wants to wash the power of sin away. It's so powerful what Jesus does that when he forgives you, when he cleanses your soul, it's an action done once and for all. The only way to undo that bind is to turn your back and to walk away from him, is to say, I don't need you. It's the only way. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so you might be here today and you've been listening to this and you're like, man, I got to get on this track. I got to get on this train, and you want to give your heart to God today. Can I ask church, could everyone close their eyes just to honor this moment? I'm just going to ask you in a moment just to lift your hands if that's you. And the reason why is I want to pray with you. And I just want to be part of this first step in your life and introduce you to the love of Jesus. And I want to do that through a prayer this morning. So every eye is bowed and every head's bowed and every eye is closed. And if that's you this morning, you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ and say, you know, Jesus, take me on this journey of surrender and allow your righteousness to flood over me. Forgive me for all my sins.